here this morning. Turn over to the book of Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first three verses here. But the thought that I want to share with you this morning, and we're going to look at it maybe in a little bit of a different light, but we're going to look at some of the ways that people see Christmas. Some of the ways that people see Christmas. Luke chapter 2, the first three verses. Came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Father, I pray that you will bless today. You will help us, Lord, as these words are shared today, these words of truth, these words of life today, God. Lord, that they be anointed by you, God, that we can see where we fit into your word and how that we maybe need to make changes in our lives. Speak to our hearts today. In your name, Jesus, amen. And speaking of Christmas, how some people see Christmas. Christmas is a time of the year that brings out the best in people, but it also brings out the worst in some other people. Christmas is just a giving and a sharing time. People become generous. They want a gift. Give. They're more apt to hold the door open for you when you're going into a store if it doesn't have those automatic doors. If you work in a place of business, if you would have worked yesterday and even today, it's that time of year where people are more generous and they give tips like they never gave before. They have a giving spirit. You go into a lot of stores and there'll be a box there where you can put food into it to give to the food banks. There'll also sometimes be boxes where you can put gifts in there that'll be used for the program called Toys for Tots. You have the Salvation Army out there ringing their bells, and they do that for a reason because people are of the giving spirit at Christmas time. And so that's bringing the best out in people, but it also brings out the worst. And you probably have seen people both ways. At Christmas time, they're just such a sweet and such a wonderful person, and it's a good time of the year to fellowship with other people. But there are some people at Christmas time, it's not a happy time for them. It's sort of a grumpy time for them. And so we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of those who don't like Christmas. And I trust that we all like Christmas. Some of the fondest memories that I have from my childhood are those of Christmas time. They've just been etched in my mind. And I don't know if it's that way with my brothers and sisters that were raised in the same family, and you that weren't raised in my family, in your own family, you probably have some memories of Christmas. There's a lot of other memories in your childhood that you might not have, but Christmas is one of those, that the memory are just there, and it's a good and it's a wonderful time. And I hope your Christmases were that way. But some people, we're going to look through the eyes of the people that don't like Christmas. Some people, believe it or not, hate Christmas. Hate. Now, that's a very strong word. Hate's a strong word. Do you know that the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, continue to file lawsuits to remove Christ from Christmas? They don't want Christmas to be mentioned. In fact, they want to do the X and then the Mass, and then they're taking Christ right out of Christmas. You heard that? Don't ever fall into the trap of doing that. If you've done that and didn't realize it, don't feel bad, but just don't do it from this time on. It's Christmas, C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. But a lot of people, instead of writing it out, they'll just do an X and then do a Mass. Don't X Christ out of Christmas. Amen, because the ACLU does that. There was times, you're not hearing about it so much anymore, but there were stores and corporations of stores that were forbidding their employees, their clerks, those ones that would check you out, those that worked in the store to say Merry Christmas to you. They were permitted to say Happy Holidays, but they weren't permitted to say Merry Christmas. They just don't like the idea of Christmas. But yet, on the other hand, they like the idea of Christmas because the merchants, the retailers, they make a lot of money at that time, and so they want it to happen. They want people in their craziness to come out and think that they have to buy $500 worth of gifts for every one of their children. I don't spend that much on any one person at Christmas, but that's up to you how you spend your money at Christmas. But public schools anymore, they'll say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. When I go somewhere and I see somebody and I'm leaving a store, I won't say, hey, by the way, Happy Holidays to you. I'll say, have a Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. I'm not ashamed to do that. And at least the people that I've run across, they'll say the same back to you, or they'll say Merry Christmas to me. But it's hard to believe that some people are offended by the words Merry Christmas. They hate Christmas. It offends them because they just have vendetta against God and against spiritual things, and they don't want it mentioned. They don't want it brought up. They want Christmas to be about other things. And so what do they do in the schools? Back in the 60s, yeah, way back in the 60s, this world was still going back in the 60s, okay? They would sing about Santa Claus. They would sing about Frosty the Snowman. They would sing about reindeer. But they really wouldn't sing anything about Jesus. Now, in the early 60s, they did. Because I shared this with you before. I remember being in my kindergarten class, and that probably would have been about 1963, 1964, when I was in the kindergarten class. They would have the big kids. They were the big kids to me. They were the big kids. They would have the seniors come down to the elementary schools, to the kindergarten classes, and in reality, what they were singing to us was Sunday school songs. They would say, Jesus loves the little children of the world, but at Christmas time, they would come in, and they would sing songs like Away in a Manger. They would talk about the birth of Jesus, and that was in the early 60s, before the craziness, before the ugly head of Satan really exposed himself in the early 60s and took prayer and Bible reading out of schools, and we're not going to go down that road today, but look at where we are today since that happened. And if you're listening, and I know those that here believe this, but if you're listening and don't believe it, do a study for yourselves. Look at society, and look at how our society has degraded and got to the point that it is, and you will notice a great difference in the morality of people from the early 60s when Christ was taken out of schools and you couldn't pray in school anymore, you couldn't mention God, our society just started to go like this. And look where we are today. And those that don't believe in Christ and think that has nothing to do with it, that where we are today is because we have rejected God. Our country as a whole has rejected God. There are many places that they have taken the Ten Commandments down. I mean, I'm surprised that hasn't happened in Washington yet, but if you go into the parlors of government there, there's the Ten Commandments. There's Moses with the Ten Commandments inscripted on the walls in different things, and I'm surprised the ACLU hasn't fought to get that taken down. I'm sure they've probably tried, but they want nothing to do with God. Amen. And so they sing nothing about Jesus, and so I'm just backed up a little bit there. In the early 60s, they did sing about Jesus in the public schools. But today, they can't do that. They won't do that because it might offend somebody. And so it doesn't offend anybody if they sing about Santa Claus and the reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. And if you as a Christian would stand up and say, I'm offended that you don't include Christ in Christmas, you would have a battle on your hands because they don't want to hear about Christ. Amen. And so... And there was one in the Bible that really hated Christmas. He really hated Christmas, and he hated it probably more than anybody else. He probably hated Christmas more than the imaginary Grinch hated Christmas. You know, all know the story about the Grinch. Don't like Christmas. You go out now and you'll look and see how people decorate, and people will use the word, if a house isn't decorated for Christmas, well, that's a pretty Grinchy place. That's a pretty gloomy place. But there was one in the Bible that was worse than the Grinch, and that was King Herod. King Herod did not appreciate that first Christmas. Amen. He tried to get the wise men. He tried to get the wise men who were following that star, let him know, come back and tell me where you find this Christ. He was very unhappy about that first Christmas because that was the first Christmas when Christ was born. He was very unhappy about it. And Matthew chapter 2 talks about this. You can find it in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, they showed their wisdom because instead of listening to Herod the king, they listened to God, spoke to them through an angel and told them to return another way, amen, and told them to return home another way. So they were wise men in that they obeyed God rather than man. And that can come into our lives today. We got to obey what the Bible says rather than what man says or even what government would pass as rules and regulations and laws. And thank God to this point, it's still not too bad in the country that we're living where we have the freedom to worship, but it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter on the churches. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of corruption that goes on in the name of Christ. There's a lot of people that try to get under the umbrella of nonprofit organizations so they don't have to pay taxes. They give themselves a church name. And so the church of itself in reality is bringing it upon themselves, this what someone would want to call a persecution from our government, but if the churches would do it right, I don't really believe there would be a lot of persecution of them wanting to come after so-called religious organizations, because they just do it to get under that umbrella. Amen. And so they showed their wisdom because they listened to God rather than to the king. And they would think, and I would like to think, that the wise men probably struggled with this a little bit, because the angel came and told them to return another way, warned them in a dream, and they had said to the king, you can read the account in Matthew chapter 2, come and tell me where you found this babe. And I think their response was that they would do that. And so when this dream came to them, they probably struggled a little bit with that. Well, we told the king that we would come back and tell him where we found this baby. And now if we don't do that, we're wise men, but we're not being a men of our word. And that's not a wise thing to do. But they realized that they needed to listen to God. Amen. And the bottom line is, in our lives, we always need to listen to the Word of God. Let the Word of God prevail in the situations and things that you face in your life, and not what men say. And so, hatred can bear bitter roots. Amen. It can stop one from reaching their full potential for God, because they are consumed with hatred, which has taken root in them. And Herod wasn't able to reach his full potential anymore, because he was consumed with this hatred for this baby, that he didn't even know who this baby was, but he knew that this baby was born, and he had a hatred towards him, and he was consumed with it. He was so consumed with hatred, he wanted to prevent others, amen, from becoming king, because he had... read it in our Sunday school lesson this morning upstairs. He had all the male children killed in Bethlehem and the regions round about from the age of 2 years old and down. How sad is that? Herod did that because of his hatred for Christ, because of his jealousy that someone was going to take his place someday, and it wasn't going to be passed down like kingship is passed from the king to the oldest son to the oldest son. And you know how it works, how the anarchy works. And he became enraged with that. And if hatred isn't dealt with, even in our lives today, it will affect everything around us. And I'm going to turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. We have to be careful that we don't let hatred take root in our hearts. Because when Herod first started out in this, I don't think if you would have asked Herod, do you have hatred in your heart? He would have said, no, I don't have hatred. I'm just doing what I need to do so somebody doesn't take my kingship away from my family. And there's not hatred. I love children. But he becomes so consumed with it, he got to the point that he had all of the male boys killed, murdered. That's a horrible thing. How would you like to have been a parent there in Bethlehem at that time, and you have a newborn babe that was born close to the time Christ's child was born? You're excited about the birth of your child. He's not going to be the Christ. He's not going to be the Savior of the world. But nonetheless, every parent's excited about their children. And then this news comes out that all the children 2 years old and younger, the males, we have to kill them. It was a sad time in Israel, but it was hatred that brought that out of him. Amen. And so Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16 says this, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. And that exceeding wroth means he was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and he slew all of the children, all of the male children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently required of the wise men. And when Herod realized that he had been tricked, when he realized that he had been mocked, he had been deceived. And that word mocked in here means deceived or tricked. When he realized that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was enraged. He was very angry. He was upset. Have you ever heard anybody use the expression, I was so mad, I was seeing colors? People will say that. I was so mad, I was seeing red. I was just enraged. Well, that's the way that Herod found himself. And he had all the male children in Bethlehem and from the regions round about, from 2 years old and under, he had them slaughtered. But yet when Jesus comes, amen, when Jesus came, he said this to us today. Amen, we're dealing with hatred here. Some people hate Christmas, and hatred's a bad thing to have in your heart. Jesus said in one of his teachings, don't let the sun set upon your wrath. Don't let the sun set up on your wrath. Amen. Because Jesus knew if we let the sun set up on our wrath, it could turn to hatred. They tell me of my grandfather Larson. That would be my mother's father. They tell me of him that he was the kind of man that he could not lay down his head and go to sleep at night if he thought that someone was upset with him by something that had transpired that day. And there's a story told of him one night. He just unrested about something. There was some little quarrel or something that had happened, and it was time to go to bed, and he couldn't do it. And back in his day, yeah, my grandparents were born back in those days before there were automobiles. He had to get the horse ready, and he went out to this individual's place to set the record straight, just to make sure that there was no misunderstanding before, and then he returned to his home and he was able to sleep in peace. It's important to do that, because if you don't settle these things, that wrath can turn into hatred. You end up losing sleep over it. You think about it. I know I just shared this recently. We always have that tendency to think of the worst thing that they meant really bad by it, and it's the way they said it and what they did, and they meant to hurt me and they meant to do me harm. And you just dwell on that, and it can turn to hatred. If somebody does something against you, and most of 99% of the time, I would say 99.9% of the times, when you think somebody's really done something against you, it's been a simple misunderstanding. Simple misunderstanding. There's that very small percentage of people that will intentionally try to hurt you. But a lot of times we're hurt by things that weren't intended to hurt us. And so that's why we go to them and say, hey, I got to understand this. When you said this, it just bothered me. And what do you do if a person comes to you? No. I'm glad you came to me. That's not what I meant. I don't want you to feel that way. Because if you let those things go, they can turn to hatred. A second kind of person we're going to look at that don't like Christmas. And there's some people that try to steal Christmas. And we know in the story of the Grinch, if you know that story, he tried to steal Christmas. But there's people that try to steal Christmas. Did you ever hear of shoplifters? Huh? Whose presents weren't bought. They're shoppers whose presents weren't bought. There's people, and they're leery of them, and they're taught you have to be careful of people that come into the stores that have these long, I call them trench coats on. These trench coats on, because they can have all kinds of pockets in those things, and they can just be going through. And they're, I don't want to say it, but it's almost like they're gifted and very deceptive on the way that they will steal things from stores. There's people that are going to be giving Christmas gifts to their children and to their family members here tomorrow that they never paid a penny for. They stole Christmas. They went out and just took advantage of somebody. There's probably people, if they could get away with it and they're not watched. I was at a store somewhere where there was this big box full of toys and stuff, and it was for the program Toys for Tots. I could venture out and say that there's probably some people that walked by and snatched something out of that box because they didn't want to buy it. They just thought Christmas could be free. And so a lot of people fill their pockets with all kinds of things. They'll take tapes and CDs and little toys. And that's why when you go in stores, not so much tapes anymore, but CDs, they'll have those things locked up. And we was in the toy section of the Walmart in Warren, Pennsylvania last year, and there's some little toys, little things that don't make sense to me, but the kids of today know what they are and what they signify. It's like, wow. And on those little tiny things, they have that device on there, that magnetic device, and so that if you try to shoplift that item, it's going to sound an alarm when they go out the store. And I said to the one man, I says, you got to be kidding me that you have to be that careful with this stuff. He says, you can't imagine how many people try to take this stuff out of the store. There's people like that. They just walk away with stuff. Amen. And so they walk away with that, and then they have the intention of giving them as gifts. I could never shoplift something and give it as a gift. I hope you couldn't be able to do that. But there's people that do that. To them, Christmas is free for the taking. They are caught, and when those kind of people get caught with something like that, and then they blame the store. It's the store's fault. There's people that come up with all kinds of schemes to walk out of Walmarts with big screen TVs, 75-inch big screen TVs. They'll get right out of the store with those things. They're schemes that have been exposed in the last handful of years. If you read them in our local newspapers, and it's like, wow, how can people do stuff like that? But they do that. But you can't steal Christmas. So what's that have to do with us? Satan has tried to kill and destroy, and he tries to take away the joy of our salvation. He doesn't want you to enjoy your salvation. He doesn't want you to really understand the meaning of Christmas. He really doesn't want you to understand, especially this, the meaning of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Man, that just sends fire through him. That sends a dart through him when he hears that word resurrection. So he tries to kill and to destroy. Amen. And we, how do we steal Christmas? I might not go to the store, and I'm not even going to say I might not. I'm not going to go to the store and shoplift. I'm not going to take something that belongs to me and give it to another with the impression that I bought it for them. But I can steal Christmas when I get caught up in other things rather than the real meaning of Christmas. You're stealing the meaning of Christmas when you get caught up with other things. A lot of denominations and churches, they have various beliefs on it. Some of them are very anti-Christmas. I was reading something this week in one of the social media pages where there's some churches that have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Christmas, and it's not the Jehovah's Witnesses. They just say it's a pagan holiday. Well, if you get real serious about it, we could do a study on it sometimes. Most of the holidays that we do celebrate have a pagan significance to them. There is a truth in that. We still need to remember the birth of Christ. We need to remember the birth of Christ. And so we can steal Christmas when we get caught up on other things rather than the real meaning of Christmas, and that is the birth of Christ. Oh, it sends a fuzzy feeling down with the little kids when the parents take them to see Santa Claus, and you do with that what you will, and they talk about reindeer, and they talk about Frosty the Snowman, and, you know, going through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, all those things. And it's just they just paint Christmas to be like some fictitious dream thing. It's just taking us into another world. But don't forget, amen, the real meaning of Christmas. It's not Santa and the reindeer. It's not Frosty the Snowman and the sleighs. And in Jesus' day, in the day that he was born, the day of his birth, the census stole away the purpose of that day. They come there to be counted, the census. They come to be taxed. They come to be counted. And it stole away the purpose of that day. He was born there, and it continues to this day. And what is that? The trivial taking the place of what is most important. It's not so important that, oh, mothers really struggle with that. The ladies, Christmas has just got to be so-so. They'll have their Christmas Eve meal, which is today, is Christmas Eve this evening. And everything has to be so-so. The table has to be set right. You have to have the candles. You have to have the oil lamps, however, whatever your tradition is. You have to have, you know, 10 different kinds of cookies. And you have to have, I don't even know if there's 5 different kinds of fruit. I suppose there is. You just have to have everything. You have to have the dish of nuts. You have to have the eggnog. You have to have the corv. You have to have this. You have to have that. Getting caught up with the trivial things of Christmas, and you can forget about the real reason of the day that we are celebrating tomorrow. It's the day that salvation came to this world. Things change from that point on. And the third point that I have, and it's close to the last point, some people, they misunderstand Christmas. They misunderstand Christmas. Stores misunderstand the real meaning of Christmas. Because when you go to stores, what do you see? It's all about the decorations. It's all about the money. It's the decorations that they have up. Most of the places you go, they don't even represent Christ in any way. Christmas is about Christ, but the decorations don't even represent that. Jesus has been replaced with Santa Claus. It's about Santa Claus. I was out walking my dogs yesterday. We went by a house here in Kane, and I admired it. And the decoration they had in their front yard, and they had a spotlight shining on it. It was sitting there. It was in the daytime, so obviously the light wasn't on. But it showed, it was a little set, and it showed Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And I thought, wow, that's a good message. You drive around Kane, very few places are you going to see decorations like that. You don't see decorations like that in the store. You just don't see it. Jesus is replaced with Santa. Shepherds and sheep, what are they replaced with? Reindeer and elves. It's not about the shepherds and sheep. They have nothing to do with Christmas. It's about reindeer and elves. History hasn't changed much. Now we're going to go over to Luke chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 2, and I know we read a lot of this last Sunday night, but that's okay. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read the first 7 verses. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Some people misunderstand Christmas. Who would give up their bed if they knew it was the place where the Messiah would be born? I think anybody would. If you knew this is the place where the Messiah is going to be born, if that innkeeper would have knew, and I'm sure Joseph told the innkeeper, if he was a prudent husband, I'm sure he told the innkeeper, look, my wife's going to have a baby, and it's probably going to be tonight. Can't you shuffle something around? Can't you find a room somewhere? And I'm sure if that innkeeper realized that it was the Messiah that was going to be born, he probably would have gave up his own bed for the Messiah. He probably would have done that for him. He probably would have done that. But the innkeeper, he didn't give up his bed. And none of the guests in the inn gave up their bed. We don't know if they were asked, hey, there's a pregnant lady here that's probably going to have this child tonight. There's no rooms left. Nobody would give up their room. But it wasn't out of disregard that they didn't give up that room, but it was out of ignorance because they didn't understand what was going on around them. They didn't understand that this is the Messiah that's going to be born this night, and it was going to be born of a virgin. And Brother Brian can take you into the history a little bit deeper because he studied it probably deeper than I have. But it was this time in Israel that they were looking, and they knew that this child was going to be born of a virgin. And those young girls, the parents would think, is my daughter the one? Is she the one that's going to bear the Messiah? Is she the one that's going to be the mother to the Messiah? So they were well aware that a Messiah was on his way. But they didn't realize that it was going to be that night. They didn't know it was going to happen to that night. And so what's this say to us? We can easily fall into the same trap today. When is the last time you took the time to think about the real meaning of Christmas? When Christmas comes, what comes? Oh, we got to get the family together. We got to buy gifts. We're going to have to get a turkey. Whatever your tradition is, we're going to have to get a ham. We got to get some eggnog. We got to buy some Swedish corn. We got to buy some smoked herring. We got to do this. We got to do whatever your tradition is. We all think about that. When's the last time you really stopped and thought about the true meaning of Christmas? The busyness of the season can overshadow the true meaning of Christmas. Don't let that happen in your life as believers. The true meaning of Christmas can be lost in the busyness of the season. And then the last point that I have here, and we'll be done shortly, some people embrace Christmas. Oh, it's the favorite time of the year. They love Christmas. They're doing Christmas shopping all year round. There are people that will go Christmas shopping for next year here in a few days when they have the after Christmas sales. They'll be out there buying the deals. And so we have to really understand what happened on that day. We embrace it because if Christ hadn't come as a babe, he couldn't have offered himself as that sacrificial lamb at the time of Easter that we celebrate. He had to come as a babe. We realize that. And because Jesus came, John 10:10, Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We embrace that. I'm glad that you came. Now I can have life and I can have it more abundantly. God loved. And what did he do? God loved and he gave. He gave his only begotten son. Very familiar portion of scripture. We're almost done here. Very familiar portion of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave something because he loved. And what did he give? He gave his only begotten son. Amen. Why? So that we wouldn't die, but we could have everlasting life with Christ. That's why God did it. And the best gift that anybody can give back to God is give themselves back to God and say, God, I'm one of your followers. Jesus, I believe in you. I'm glad that you came into this world. And I'm sorry that you were tormented like you were, that you were tortured like you were, that they had to do that crucifixion and buried you, but you resurrected again. You recognize that. You take God's gift. And then finishing up with this in 2 Peter 3:9, and because Jesus came, God gave that gift, and Jesus followed through with it. In 2 Peter 3:9, end, it says, Jesus isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. That's why he came. That's why Christmas is so distorted. It was distorted that first Christmas by Herod. It was a sad time. And you wonder about the teaching of Jesus when he said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring division. It brought a lot of division when he came. Man, the king had the two-year-old boys, or the boys 2 years old and down in Bethlehem and the regions round about, slaughtered and killed, murdered because of this man Jesus that came. It brought a lot of division, and it still brings division today. The biggest divisions in a lot of families are over religious things. And I'm talking about someone in the family knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. It really upsets the apple carts in families when they're set on traditions and they're set in a denomination and a belief that if I belong to that denomination, my grandparents belong, my parents belonged, I belong, my children will belong. Well, if one of those children break out from that, and not saying that you can't have Christ in those places, but you know them by their fruits, and they really become a follower of Jesus and break away from it, it causes division. But Jesus come, and this is the reason he came. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have life everlasting. Father, we thank you for this word today. Help us, God, at this Christmas season to remember what it's really all about. Lord, we're sitting here. Some of us might be getting squirmy because we've got things we got to do. And man, I wish we'd just get done and shut it down here. And just so busy. But God, in this busyness, that we don't shut you out, God. Lord, that we remember what that Christmas is all about, that God gave his son. Lord, we'll reflect on that, why you gave your son. God, what is our response to that gift that you have given to us, God? Lord, I pray that it's a response of acceptance. Lord, that we accept that gift, that our lives can be changed and made new. God, be with each one. Keep your hand upon us, God. Lord, at this season, this last week of the year, God, Lord, that we can let our light shine for you. And we thank you for that gift that you gave to us. We're so grateful for it. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. And in closing, let's just sing that song. It's not a Christmas song, but it's fitting to sing it. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came.